Ketchikan,
Kotzebue,
Dillingham,
Sitka,
Chugiak,
Fairbanks,
Fort Yukon,
Wrangell,
Barrow, Unalaska, Dutch Harbor,
Alaknarechamute.
This is AK on Alaska News Nightly. I'm Josh Edge. This week on AK, feeding the animals. Ever wanted to feed a snow leopard? What about a moose or a pack of wolves? This year, you can for a tidy sum at the Alaska Zoo. It's part of a strategy particular to nonprofits in the high north, finding ways to bring in a little extra cash during the long, lean winter months ahead of the tourist season. Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports.
Zookeeper Timothy Lesher is splitting a side of caribou ribs with a handsaw.
I think we got probably 9 pieces here, which is a good number.
Lesher stuffs assorted chunks of carcass into a black trash bag and gets ready to toss piece after piece over the fence to a hungry pack of wolves.
Looks delicious, doesn't it?
Is that moose scapula?
Yes. The wolves, they like everything.
These 5 loping lupines are just a few in the long list of Lesher's animal wards.
I take care of the wolves, brown bears, the snow leopard, the dall sheep, the trumpeter swans. I also take care of the petting zoo animals.
It's like parenting a barn full of kids, even though some are on opposing sides of the food chain. Lesher has made peace with the gentle contradiction that is zookeeping wild animals. The wolf pack is kept alive on a steady diet of meat scraps that come, quite possibly, from cousins of the nearby adolescent moose named Uncle Fudge, who Lesher actually raised from the bottle. He's unfazed by the pacing and the growls when we trundle into the chilly lair of a leopard.
You just want to make sure you stay against this wall because he will jump up on the fence. Keep your backs to the wall is what I tell people and you'll be fine.
Lesher is giving me a behind-the-scenes tour of the zoo as part of a special program called Keeper for a Day. For $200 a person, you shadow the zookeepers for a few hours, feeding bananas to Bactrian camels, or walking the wolves, or watching Nakai the snow leopard nibble lunch from Lesher's fingertips.
That's all, bud.
In the wild, Nakai would be stalking a blue sheep, an ibex, or a Tibetan yak in the Himalayan mountains. Today, he's getting high-grade hamburger. His eyes are captivating, and when the food is out of sight, his head bobs up and down, tracking my movements in a flattering, if somewhat unsettling way. For animal superfans, this is the sweet nectar of experience that the zoo is leveraging to help pay its bills.
The zoo is actually comprised of like 6 different businesses.
Jill Meyer is the zoo's development director, and inside of her office, overlooking the alpaca pen, she runs me through line after line of their expenses.
So that's $125,000 a year. I mean, that's just to basically care for the animals.
That doesn't seem as huge as I thought.
It doesn't, but then you need to continue on. A lot of the care of the animals comes into staff.
Turns out the most expensive zoo creatures are the keepers. The biggest expense in the budget is salaries and benefits for employees. It costs more to cover human medical insurance than buy all the animal food. And Meyer says there are some other big challenges that make funding a subarctic zoo a little, well, let's say unique. Most of the $3 million in last year's revenues came from admissions during the summer, when tour buses and cruise ships unleash a steady torrent of visitors. The zoo even extends its hours.
It's Alaska, and there's light, you know, and everybody, you can come to the zoo in the middle of the night, and there's animals still up and roaming around because there's light.
The irony is that because the zoo specializes in cold weather creatures, they aren't exactly in their element during tourist season.
And in the summer, like the tigers, they just lay there just melting, like, make it end. And the bears, when it gets over 70 degrees, we start trucking in ice. And so they just lay in the ice, and they're so thankful. But, you know, they tend to just lay around in the summer.
But, you have to ice down your bears above 70 degrees.
Yeah, they get too hot.
Winter is when most of the megafauna are a bit more out and about, and they're not the only ones. The keepers have extra time, too. Bears are hibernating, the hours reduced, and fewer visitors are wandering around. The Keeper for a Day program is just one of the ways the zoo tries to leverage its biggest assets, the allure of the animals and the expertise of the keepers, to make a little bit of extra money when the grounds are underutilized. They also rent the zoo out for weddings and host special programs, and none of these revenue streams take in that much. Keeper for a Day brought in just over $15,000 last year. But hey, that buys you a lot of hamburger meat for your snow leopard. Timothy Lesher, the zookeeper, sees a longer-term set of goals when it comes to programs like Keeper for a Day.
I see as many adults as I do kids. Sometimes they're aspiring zookeepers. Sometimes they're just people that have an intense interest in wildlife or in animals in general.
Lesher thinks that if a zoo can get people invested in a relationship with Nakai the leopard or Uncle Fudge the moose, then that serves their larger mission of animal conservation. For AK, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
Now it's time for 49 Voices. This week, we're hearing from Lori Fernandez, who moved to Anchorage with her husband and children last June from Houston, Texas.
When we told people we were moving up here, we got different reactions. Like, there are some people who kind of chuckled, like, well, you know, have a good life. We'll see you, you know, you're way up there. And then other people had been here and were so excited and said, oh, I loved when I got to visit Alaska. People do a lot outside in Houston, but I think we just felt like it was a great opportunity with work to come up, and but a good opportunity for the family to see a different side of life and explore, you know, have so many different experiences. The summer when we came was so beautiful last summer, you know, so we tried to get out and hike as much as we could, and now we've taken the kids ice skating on the lagoon, and, you know, they're in junior Nordic and little Nordic, and we're learning to ski, so, and then we're hoping to, alpine ski a bit later in the season. We weren't cross-country skiing 3 nights a week in Houston. Only in Alaska would my trunk be packed full of sleds, skis, you know, extra sleeping bags. You know, only in Alaska would have a moose in our backyard, you know, a few times throughout the summer. And I think only in Alaska would I not care if my kids put on a jacket if it's over 35. I mean, to me, this is kind of an ideal place to live. The mountains, the ocean, tons of stuff to do outside. You know, people are really down to earth, I think, here, and have just a very realistic perspective on life, which is really refreshing.
Lori Fernandez lives in Anchorage. 49 Voices is AK's attempt to put every Alaskan on the radio. Thanks for listening to AK this week. We had help from Zachariah Hughes, Wesley Early, and Annie Feit. Tune in next week for more unique stories from around the state. I'm Josh Edge.